wondering as we're embarking, continuing on our theme, the essential and enduring word, will we run out of material? Will we be able to finish the year with enough messages on the Word of God? I don't think that will be a problem. And I was reading through my yearly Bible reading, and I came across this passage, and I thought, we must take a moment to look at Isaiah 55. We'll begin in verse 1. We'll read all 13 verses. We'll pray, and we'll look at God's word will not return void. Ho! When was the last time you heard that to get your attention? Or a snack at the grocery store? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knewest not. And nations that knew not thee shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That might be a good marriage verse right there. Amen. Ladies, I heard you had a little meeting this afternoon. Yeah, so that might be good, you know, husband, wife. Your thoughts are not mine. That might work right there. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now, remember, God is speaking here, husbands. And my thoughts than your thoughts. I'd like to focus on verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you at this time of year as we prepare for fall and Thanksgiving and a lot of things that come our way this time of year, and we ask for guidance and strength and direction. Lord, nourish us, feed us, examine us, instruct us, comfort us with the Word of God. For those that couldn't be with us, we pray that you'd watch over them in a special way. Continue to bless our church family, Lord, as we continue to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our neighborhood, to our community, to our county, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, we've looked at the Word of God. That's our theme. We have talked about the voice of God often. In Psalm 29, the Bible says starting in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. As we're looking at this passage in Isaiah chapter 55, his word will not return unto us void. So as we look at and think about the word of God, the voice of God, we know that in the beginning, in Genesis, we have God spoke and it was done. In Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, we have God speaking to Adam and Eve. God spoke to Moses and then wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to Moses and to the nation of Israel, as we look at the book of Exodus through Deuteronomy. God used a donkey to talk to Balaam in Numbers chapter 22. God instructed a great fish, swallowed up Jonah in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah chapter 3. God used the word of God to provide understanding to the simple. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God spoke to Ezekiel the prophet in Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 1, and said, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So we have the word of God, the Bible, the voice of God speaking in a number of different contexts, in a number of different ways. God spoke to Bible characters. God spoke to Noah and his sons in Genesis chapter number 6, 7, 8, 9. God spoke to Job and his friends, obviously through the entire book of Job. God spoke to Jacob, Genesis chapter 28, Genesis chapter 35, and so forth. God spoke to David. God spoke to Solomon. God spoke to Elijah. God spoke to Isaiah. God spoke to Jonah. God spoke to Hosea. God spoke to Zechariah, as well as the authors of the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament. God spoke to Paul in Acts chapter 9. God spoke to Peter in Acts chapter 10. God spoke to James, obviously in James 1 through 5. God specifically spoke to John the Apostle in Revelation chapter 1. So we look at the Bible, and we can look at the Bible and say the Bible really is the word of his mouth, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The goal of the word of God is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What is the goal of the scriptures? Colossians 1:28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Obviously, not every man is perfect, but in Christ, we have our being. We have our identity. It's ironic. I guess it's not ironic. It goes back to Genesis chapter 3. Fallen man has an identity problem. Now we use surgical tools and hormones to try to fix that. Gender confusion, they call it. We have an identity problem. Christians have an identity problem. because they want to identify with the world, to be accepted of the world. And God says, if you identify with me wholeheartedly, all the way, completely, you'll be alone. You'll stand most of the time by yourself. You'll be ridiculed by your family. You'll be made fun of by your church because nobody wants to be around somebody who's holy or separate or sanctified. Or now, if you've got that attitude, that self-righteous attitude, then you probably deserve to be by yourself. Amen? Right. Before, honor is humility. So that's the key. That's the key. So as we look at Isaiah 55, verse 10, I'd like to focus on these two verses, if I could, just for a few minutes. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, this is a comparison. This is a metaphor. This is God using God's word in something that we would understand. Even if you didn't take earth science, you could figure out rain. And in this part of the country, you can figure out snow. Amen. That's called the water cycle, where God knows how to conserve water and God knows how to recycle water in such a way that he knows how to sprinkle the water in such a, the grass in such a beautiful way that it makes sprinklers look ridiculous, doesn't it? We're out there trying to water our lawn. And Chris, this Buffalo weather sometimes is funny because you see people out there watering their lawn and all of a sudden you scratch your head saying, didn't they pay attention to the weather? And their little sprinklers look so pathetic compared to a rain shower. It just kind of covers everything. It's like, wow, my sprinkler doesn't do anything, does it? No. So the illustration here, as I said, is the water cycle. Water falls from the atmosphere in various forms. And then the water cycle teaches us how that water returns to the atmosphere. We call it precipitation when it comes down. We call it evaporation when it goes up. Very simple. The purpose of the water cycle is to make sure that there is a distribution of water all over the face of the earth. Now pause for a moment there. Isn't that a good illustration of what the Word of God should be doing? If God is comparing the Word of God to the water cycle here, whether you're in Seattle or the Sahara Desert, the water cycle is still part of God's plan, right? One area might get more precipitation than the other. One area might get more evaporation than the other. Right? Okay. So the point is that water in all of its forms, various forms, comes down to the earth for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. It does not go up. Right? Precipitation comes down. Water, or what goes up, is water in an entirely different form and for a completely different reason. The result of the precipitation is so that fruit is produced. Isn't that what that says right there? So that it waters the earth and maketh it bring forth fruit. Is that important? Well, it's very important. Here it basically talks about the fruit being in two different forms. It talks about first that seed would be produced so that the crop could be self-reproducing. or self-replicating. I don't know much about corn, but there's seed corn. There's corn that is planted so that you can have seed for the next year, and all kind of things like that. Grass, just regular grass, if you let it grow long enough, it will have its own seed that you could use to reseed. Instead of having to go to the store and buy seed, God figured that all out. So the farmer is rewarded by the crop in that he has seed for his next planting. Secondly, the crop can produce food in order to feed those that planted it. The farmer has food to nourish his family and all those that would benefit from that crop. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, there's a purpose and a goal, and maketh it. What will this do? It will, pun not intended, it will make the seed to bud, and there may be seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So there's a direct comparison. God is using Isaiah to compare the word of God to the water cycle. And you might think, that's weird. Everybody understands water. Everybody has seen rain or has experienced precipitation. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Pause. So as we compare the word of God, the voice of God, to what we have just read, there ought to be some comparisons here that are simple to understand. It shall not return unto me void. Now, before we go there, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So as God allows the water cycle to replenish, to water, to take care of plants, vegetation, the human species, as well as God taking care of all of the weather all over the globe by using air pressure, precipitation, wind. I don't understand it all, do you? No. Even the people that do the weather don't understand it all, do they? No, because they're predicting the weather. Even with all those instruments and their weather and all these measurements that they're using, they still don't get it all right, do they? They've got satellites to take pictures, and they still don't get it all right, do they? No. And if you've looked at your radar recently, as Dan did today, he was going to ride his motorcycle to church and decided, nah, it might not be a good idea. Sometimes that radar can be really, really good. It's spot on. It's almost like, nope, I don't think I'm going to do that right now. Look at that radar. We're going to get weather here in like 7 minutes. And then all of a sudden you see all that green and that yellow and that orange and that red stuff on the radar. And then it's all over your house. It's all over your neighborhood. And you say, wow, I'm so glad I looked at the radar. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It should be like something that happens 24/7, because weather happens 24/7. It might not be raining, but weather is constantly happening. Might not be raining here, but it's raining someplace else. It might not be snowing here, but it's snowing someplace else. We might not have a hurricane here, but there's a hurricane somewhere. You get what I'm saying? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It, my word, shall not return unto me void. I don't know about you, but for 35, 36 years as a Christian, I've heard this passage of Scripture batted around like a tennis ball, haven't you? And this passage of Scripture being used to justify an awful lot of things. So let's take a moment and look at this word, void. God's word shall not return unto him void. Void means empty, or void means without a cause. Void means useless, vain, ineffective. Void could mean having no legal force or effect, not legally binding or enforceable. Void could mean an empty space. Void could mean a loss or being removed from something. Void could mean to invalidate or to nullify. So when God says, it shall not return unto me void, what is he really saying here? He's really saying that God's word will accomplish what God intends for his word to accomplish, right? Now, whether we prepare the word or not, it's still God's word. How the word is presented might determine its effectiveness, but it's still God's word. Where it's presented, how it's presented, might have a bearing on what we would call results or the success of this particular word or this particular event where the word is being used. I think God will let us understand that God's word is not a filler. He doesn't say things he doesn't mean. He doesn't need to fill up space. God's word is not empty. God's word is not lacking in power. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God's word has a purpose. God's word has meaning. God's word has power. God's word has divine effect. God's word will prosper in the thing that God intended for it to do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, if you would. We were looking at Matthew 24 this morning in light of prophecy. This particular passage of Scripture is replicated three times in three different Gospels in exactly the same way. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. There are some passages of Scripture that talk specifically about Scripture. There's history, there's biography, there's prophecy. There's all types of poetry and narrative in the Scripture. But there are some passages of Scripture that are specifically about the Word of God. Matthew 5, 18. "For verily," or "truly, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." If you're crossing a T, dotting an I, that's what a tittle means. Heaven and earth will pass, but nothing's going to diminish from God's word. So we have passages of Scripture where God is saying, my word will not return unto me void. My word shall accomplish that which I please. My word shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. God sends people. God sent Abraham. God sent Paul. God sent Jonah. God will send you and God will send me to people that need to hear of him. Here, God sends the word of God. How does God send the word of God? By a child of God, right? We can hide the word of God in our heart. So wherever we are, the word of God could go with us. Amen? Should go with us. We should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. So God can send the word by sending you and I. God can also send the word by our Bearing Precious Seed projects that we do, our Johns and Romans. God can use those projects to send the word where the word would not normally be. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, 23:19, God is not a man. His ways are not our ways. Our ways are not his ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not his ways. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Psalm 89, if you turn there. Psalm 89, just a couple more passages of Scripture. Psalm 89, verse 34 says, my covenant will I not break. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. In other words, what I say is God's word. Isaiah 40, if you turn there. Isaiah 40. As you're turning to Isaiah 40, Albert Barnes has a commentary on Isaiah. Let me read a paragraph from his commentary written in 1870. Whatever is his design in giving the gospel, it shall be accomplished. My word shall not return unto me void. That usually means, this is my commentary, that the method that we use, as long as we use the word of God, God's word will not return unto God void, but it might return unto us void. God's purpose in his word and our purpose using his word might not be the same. Amen. We might use the word of God as a weapon. God wants to use the word of God as seed and as light. And as hope. It is never spoken in vain, the gospel, and never fails to produce the effect which he intends. The gospel is no more preached in vain than the rain falls in vain. And though that often falls on barren rocks or on arid sands, and extended plains, on extended plains where no vegetation is produced, or in the wilderness where no man is, and seems to our eyes in vain, yet it is not so. God has a design in each drop that falls on sands or rocks, as really as in the copious shower that falls on fertile fields. And so the gospel often falls on the hard and barren hearts of men. It is addressed to the proud, the sensual, the greedy, and the unbelieving, and seems to be spoken in vain and to return void unto God. But it is not so. He has some design in it, and that will be accomplished. It is proof of the fullness of his mercy. It leaves people without excuse and justifies himself. Or, when long presented, apparently long in vain, it ultimately becomes successful. And sinners are at last brought to abandon their sins and to turn unto God. It is indeed often rejected and despised. It falls on the ears of people apparently as the rain falls on the hard rock. And there are, so to speak, large fields where the gospel is preached as barren and unfruitful of any spiritual good as the extended desert is of vegetation. And the gospel seems to be preached to almost entire communities with as little effect as is produced when the rains fall on the deserts of Arabia. But there will be better and happier times. Though the gospel may not now produce all the good effects which we may desire, yet it will be ultimately successful to the full wish of the widest benevolence, and the whole world shall be filled with the knowledge and the love of God. Now, I don't have at my disposal missionary examples of this, but I do know of one, David Livingstone. There's probably no better example of the last 200 or 300 years of a soul who so desperately desired the salvation of sinners than David Livingstone. Left England to go to Africa. Couldn't speak the language. Didn't know the language. You say, well, what did he do? He kind of did what David Brainerd did. Who's David Brainerd? David Brainerd was a young whippersnapper who decided to go to the American Indians. Didn't speak their language. Didn't know their culture. He just loved them. You say, well, what did he do? What did he say? I don't know what he did or what he said. He just loved them. He wept and prayed for them. And he died at 28 years of age because of tuberculosis. Because he loved them that much. Before the days of space heaters. David Livingstone sowed the seed in Africa. Sowed the seed. The results? Minimum. At best. Generations later, we see the fruit of what happened 100 years ago. Did it seem like it was in vain then? Yeah. Yeah, it did. But God used that seed to produce fruit. There are missionaries on the field now that have been there 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Less than a dozen converts. So the American church would say, oh, you're not very successful. What a waste of our resources. What a waste of a life. Not in God's economy. We don't know what God has in store for that community or that culture or that language group. Don't turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. You know what that means? Forever. Right. There is a connection of truth with a suitable agency. This was written, again, back in the 1890s. And this directness of supernatural agency carries over the truth from its relation to a purpose into the efficiency of an act. When the telegraph sends its message through the air or under the sea, there is something more than electricity at work. There is a mind, a personal intelligence, from whose directive will that electricity gets its action. Meaning there's a purpose to the message. And the purpose was designed by the person who's sending the message. So is the efficiency of truth. It supposes a power not in the truth, not in man, but in God. A power which, however inscrutably to us, works after its own methods, going down to the conscience and up to the intellect, conquering prejudice and silencing doubt, and turning men from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God. Let me just read one more. The rain and the snow are sapped into the earth and then incorporated into the grain, resulting in seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Similarly, the published word, being assimilated into the human mind, fashions thought. Before the word of God, how did you think? You wouldn't dare say, would you? Me neither. And I hope that video is never played. After salvation, how do you now think? I hope differently. I hope the word of God is changing, molding, transforming your life through the renewing of your mind. The word not only fashions thought, but it molds character. My eye affecteth my heart. What does that verse mean? That verse should mean everything for us materialistic, covetous Americans. My eye affects my heart. Whatever I look at is going to affect my heart. The word of God not only fashions thought, molds character, regenerates life. Isn't that good? I'm so glad my life is regenerated, aren't you? I'm glad you are too, regenerated. And therefore, it does not return void to its author. It's transformative. It's revolutionary. And even though it should be humanly rejected, it still would not return void. Individual hearing creates individual responsibility and hence leaves no one in the same place. The horizon of hope being unbrightened, the reverse side of despair casts up sooner or later. The operations of the word are partly visible and partly invisible. Finite creatures observe the former. It wants omniscience to penetrate the latter. For this reason, God only can determine what his word is really doing. Boy, that's good. God never does or permits anything without purpose or intent. Because God is sovereign over the universe, then as surely as he makes the rain to fall from heaven and brings forth food for the earth, his words, intentions, and actions will be fulfilled or achieve their desired purpose, regardless of the greatest efforts that Satan, the world system that he controls, and humanity's fallen sinful nature, through which he works, may make it thwarted. In fact, even events that Satan intends for harm can be and are used by God for the ultimate benefit of God's people. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, I'm not predicting the weather, I'm just reading a passage of Scripture, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That doesn't mean we should be reckless and irresponsible with it. It shall not return unto me void, but it, the word of God, shall accomplish that which I please. And it, the word of God, shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful, eternally grateful for the Word of God, for the Scriptures, for the Bible. Lord, your Word says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How I praise you and thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to have a copy of your inspired, preserved word. Lord, help us embrace it. Help us to love it. Help us, Lord, to appropriate it, act upon it, to live it, to believe it, actually, to trust it, to do it. To come before it in complete humility. Not to worship the book, but to worship the author. And to cry out, O God, what is necessary, Lord? What is needful in my life? What needs to be examined by the Word of God and the Spirit of God? Help us to be like the Bereans, checking God's word each and every day. Like the Thessalonians, embracing the word of God as the word of God, not as the word of men. Oh God, I pray as the days get darker spiritually, that Lord, we'd be a people of the book, that we would hold forth the word of life to our community, to our neighbors and friends, to our families, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed.